Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship.
Seven straight 49er runs. They're going to get it to Coleman on the shotgun run for an eighth consecutive run. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Tuesday, baby!
Just running all over them.
That really feels good, the way the offensive line just dominated that series. And to finish it off the way that they just did, punch it in with Tevin Coleman.
That's Greg Papa on the call of the 49ers touchdown in their win against the Minnesota Vikings, courtesy of KMBR in San Francisco. And coming up, we'll talk to Steve about that win over the Vikings in the divisional playoffs and the upcoming matchup in the NFC Championship against the Green Bay Packers. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. TPC Harding Park in San Francisco is the home of the 2020 PGA Championship, and you will not want to miss this event. It's right around the corner now. Daily and weekly ticket options are available from opening day, that's May the 11th, to Championship Sunday, May the 17th, 2020, for the PGA Championship at San Francisco's very own TPC Harding Park. So check out a major in San Francisco. Go to the website, attend.thepga.com/tickets to purchase your tickets today. Well, Steve, the 49ers are in the NFC Championship game after a 27-10 win over the Vikings in the divisional playoffs. And really all you need to know about that game, Steve, is that the 49ers dominated on defense and they dominated running the football. And a lot of times that's a recipe for a victory, and you can only hope that they can continue that against the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship.
Exactly. It was dominant from, I would say, pretty much the beginning, for sure, on defense, and then on offense. And I was really happy to see that Kyle took a page from his dad's playbook and took the pressure off of Jimmy G and ran the ball so well. It happens to quarterbacks, and you saw it. You saw it with Lamar Jackson just trying to do too much. It's the playoffs. You're trying to do too much, and you end up hurting your team. And I think it was great that Kyle did that. And, you know, I know that, when I say from his dad's playbook, because that's how Elway was finally able to win two Super Bowls under Mike Shanahan, because they had great running games and he took the pressure off of John and, you know, allowed John to be John and do the things that he's going to do to make the team better.
Well, it's interesting, too, because I think you get into that mode of running, and they had that drive where all they did was run. I mean, it was 8 plays, 44 yards. It was just all rushes. I think that comes about, though, because you have the lead, and you had a big defensive play. When Richard Sherman had that interception, that was such a key, and I think he just adjusted, I think Shanahan did, to say, okay, you know, we've got the lead. Now we can just run it, use clock, and once it's successful, you can just keep doing it.
Right. No, I agree. I completely agree in that situation, because a lot of times, though, I would say from a quarterback perspective and an offensive perspective, that when you get a turnover like that, next play I'm going deep. I'm taking a shot. Let's stick the knife in now and end this.
Yeah, exactly.
but I think, again, it's the playoffs. You try and do too much as a quarterback, and I commend Kyle for recognizing that and taking that pressure off of Jimmy G, and hopefully going forward, he's going to be able to do that this weekend on Sunday. Because obviously we need to keep the ball away from Rodgers. I mean, that's the number one defense, is keeping the ball away from Rodgers.
Absolutely. And, I mean, you think about only throwing six passes and a half. That's what Garoppolo did in the second half. Six. I mean, it's almost like you get bored as the quarterback. I don't know that you see that very often. And 47 rush attempts in the game for the Niners. You didn't expect that. Yeah. I mean, you knew they'd run, but not that much.
No, you didn't expect that. And I think that having done that now, it's totally setting up the play action, big play game for this Sunday, because Green Bay is going to come in, you know, having worked to stop the run. They're going to make Jimmy beat them. I mean, that if I'm who's the defense coordinator up there? I think it's Patton. If I'm him, I'm coming in stacking the box, you know, with eight guys, saying, okay, Jimmy G, you got to beat me. And that's okay. And then we can try and make the running game go. But now that opens the big play game out from pass play action. And otherwise, if it's drop back, keep it short and quick.
You know, I know there's not a lot to evaluate as far as Jimmy G from his first playoff game, but that first drive, I mean, that was pretty masterful. I thought, you know, early on, the first couple of passes weren't great. He threw it behind Samuel, and Samuel bailed him out with a good catch.
Yeah.
But then he started to get into a good rhythm.
He was a little off in the beginning, and that's totally understandable. You know, your adrenaline's pumping. It's playoffs. You want every play to be to be perfect. And it doesn't work that way, and that's part of what I mean by, you know, and commending Kyle for taking that pressure off of him.
And Kittle wasn't exactly open because they were smothering him. But Sanders was a go-to guy. I mean, there was one pass that Jimmy G threw to Sanders on that first drive that was just beautiful.
Perfect.
Just zipped it in there. It was great.
Perfect. Yep. And then you know, they're all over Kittle, so Kendrick becomes more of a target. He made some big catches. He dropped one, at least one that I remember, maybe two simple ones that were good throws. You know, and that's just a lack of concentration on his part of not catching it first and, you know, trying to make the play before he catches it.
Yeah, well, Chris Consort made the really good point that Bourne all season, he's made these tough catches, but the simple ones are the ones that he drops. It's kind of like the shortstop. The shortstop who doesn't make the routine plays, but he makes the spectacular plays.
Good plays, right. no question. And that's just a matter of that's just a lack of concentration at that very second.
On the running game side, Tevin Coleman ended up as being the top back, over 100 yards. Mostert had some good runs as well. Breida seems to have dropped off a little bit. They had that strip fumble of him. I don't know that Shanahan has lost confidence in him, but, I mean, he's got these choices, and it seems like right now it's Coleman, Mostert as the tandem that he's going to go with.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, and that change up the Breida's speed. I mean, I don't think he's lost confidence in him. I think it's more that he has confidence in knowing what Coleman can do, and likes Raheem's size and speed, you know, to pound it in between the tackles.
On to the defense. 147 total yards for the Vikings in the game. And the Niners had one fewer sack than the Vikings had first downs. I mean, they had six sacks and seven first downs is all Minnesota had. So, I mean, when you get guys back, what does that mean, Steve? I mean, you know, even if they didn't play the biggest role, you know, Quan Alexander back, maybe he didn't make every tackle, but, you know, Ford is back there now and Tart, you know, those were very important players earlier in the season. It must have meant a lot to this defense.
Oh, no question. It just brings more confidence, and they are frontline players. I mean, I honestly think the most important one is Tart. He's become a good player. He has a better sense in center field, and I mean, he made a couple big hits to jar the ball loose and made he made one spectacular tackle that I can think of to his it was to his right. I don't remember at what point in the game. I just remember him running out of center field to make the tackle, and I honestly think he's the biggest. Plus to get back.
I agree with you. And you know what? I really think that it's important to have nasty defensive backs that make tackles like that, because you have him, you've got Jimmy Ward, you know, kind of reminds me of the Ronnie Lott mentality. And I know it's a different game today, Steve, where you can't make those same hits with the rules that are in place. Even Richard Sherman can make some big hits. I mean, to me, that's so important. It's kind of underrated.
Yeah, it totally is. Yeah, to your point that it's going to make receivers think about going over the middle, that they're going to get stuck, and they're going to get stuck legally because those could have easily been fouls, but they were not. I'm glad they didn't call them penalties, because they weren't. They were legitimate hit, you know, shoulder to shoulder hits. I think it's just it's a huge benefit to have Tart back. And I haven't read anything, but I'm assuming Mosley would play at left corner at right corner.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that too, because to me that was another sort of baseball analogy I make. I think that if you're a relief pitcher and you come in and walk the first batter, you're getting pulled right away, you know? Or if you're a starter and you start walking batters. Well, with Witherspoon, I think – he's on a short leash, and he gave up that touchdown, which, you know, just a great play by Diggs, kind of outplayed him on that.
It was.
Yeah, and that's it.
He stumbled on it. I mean, he was right there. He just didn't, unfortunately, he kind of tripped. That ball was underthrown on him. but I just think that Mosley has the confidence, and he might be the biggest example of a guy who got experience last year who nobody was counting on, and now all of a sudden – he might be the guy.
Yeah, and I mean, and he is playing really well, so I would think that he gets the start, which, you know.
I would think.
Yeah, that was one of the decisions that you have to think about. With Nick Bosa, what a great game he had. He had six tackles, he had a couple sacks, and he plays up to the crowd, too. I mean, I know he sort of had the wind knocked out of him, but then he just pops up and starts running around, and man, that was a good moment.
I'm glad it was just the wind knocked out of him, because that on the replays of the tackle, I thought maybe it was his hip, the way he had fallen and the way that D Ford had fallen on top of him. But I'm glad it was just he lost his breath. Yeah, but he's totally playing to it, and I mean his quickness off the ball is just uncanny.
Hard to believe he's a rookie, right? I mean, he's not playing like a rookie at all. I mean,
he and his brother have been well trained by their dad.
Yeah, and you go back to that first game against Green Bay, and you can't get overconfident knowing that you beat the Packers 37-8, but you know that you put a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, similar situation here, but the Packers are going to be ready for that too.
Yeah, they are. And, no, I mean, I think we, you know, we need to come out like we did last Sunday or last Saturday. We need to come out like we did against the Packers the first time. You know, keep Aaron in the pocket, put the pressure on them, you know, make them make those throws, on his back foot, which is not necessarily a good thing for us with Aaron, but because he can make those throws. But I mean, that regular season game, we got after him really and stayed on him, which is what we're going to need to do.
Well, that was a turning point for the Packers, because they've won six in a row since that loss. And you know, that was a thrilling game against Seattle, but they came up in the clutch. And your guy, Davante Adams, I say that because he went to Palo Alto High School and played with your son, Christoph. Man, I mean, what a game he had. Yeah.
What a game. What, six catches, 180? I mean, what a game. Two touchdowns, a key third down. And it was nice to see they were, you know, focused on him and showing his route running ability. He's going to be tough to stop.
What's he like as a kid? I mean, and what was he like as far as developing as a player?
He was always, even as a kid, when he and Christoph were playing, basketball as, middle school, even, 6-8 years old. I mean, he was always an incredible athlete. I mean, he could jump out of the building even as a little kid. I think he was dunking when he was in eighth grade. honestly, if it wasn't eighth, it was ninth, but, he could always run. He could always jump. He didn't start playing football. He actually started as a quarterback as a kid. And that's when he had that, he broke his left arm, twice really bad. And then didn't play football in high school until junior year, because he basically had missed two seasons with this because he was going to play basketball, and he broke it twice playing basketball, falling backwards. He's a phenomenal athlete.
We'll get back to Steve in just a moment, but first let's hear what head coach Kyle Shanahan had to say about the message he gave his team concerning not being overconfident about beating Green Bay the first time around in a blowout.
Don't be that stupid. That's not real. This is about Sunday's game. I mean, I can give 1,000 stories of things like that. Plenty of games from my history that I've been a part of. I remember losing to Carolina 37-0 when they were 13-0, and we had to play them 2 weeks later, and then we beat them at Atlanta, and they ended up being 15-1 that year. But I mean, there's so many stories like that, and this is the NFL, so no team. The game before never matters like that. There's four teams left, and it's four very, very good teams, and it's going to be a hard game for all of us. So, and also our players, the type of guys they are, the way they've been all year, I'm not concerned about that. They'll have to answer that question, I'm sure, a lot, but I don't think that'll be a worry for our players, which means it won't be for me.
Kyle Shanahan also talked about what makes Green Bay Packers wide receiver Davante Adams so good.
He's very good at beating man coverage. When guys that are hard to cover because of their quickness, their feet, their size, and their hands, it's tough. And zone, they got a good quarterback who gets the ball the right spot. And Devontae's definitely their best guy beating man-to-man, but they got a bunch of guys who can do it too.
Here's what Shanahan had to say about Akello Witherspoon and his attitude after being pulled following the second Vikings offensive series of the game and Emmanuel Mosley coming in his place.
For Akello to get replaced by Emmanuel early in that game, he handled it great, but he went right up to Hightower right after that, which Tower told me yesterday. Went up to him and was like, hey, Coach pulled me, they're going with E-Man, but hey, I'm good. Make sure you give me all E-Man's reps, everything he has on special teams. I want to do whatever I can to help. He needs his energy. You put me in on special teams. And it's just that type of attitude where you haven't had to call many people in to say that. Like, our guys are just, our guys have a lot of love for each other all across the board. And you got everyone out there doing whatever they can to try to get this one in Sunday and hopefully one after that.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. 49ers Extra continues after this from TPC Harding Park. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. Before we finish up, Steve, I just wanted to get into a little bit of when you get to this point, what it's like as a player, because you've been in this position. You're getting into a spot where you're in the NFC Championship, one win from the Super Bowl, and the stakes are so high. And I guess it's hard to sort of block that out when you take the field, but in any sport, you have to treat it like, it's just a regular game. But I got to believe that that's really hard to do.
It is hard, and I loved what Richard Sherman has said. I mean, it's obviously easy to say, and that is, it's still a football game. You still have to play the game, and you have to execute, and you do that by relying on your fundamentals. That's really easy to say, harder to do, and especially as a quarterback. In what I said early on, and that is, that you feel like you need to do more, and you get yourself in trouble. And the best example happened last Saturday night with Lamar Jackson. He tried to do too much, and it ends up hurting you. Jimmy G just needs to get the ball to the open guy, not feel like he has to make plays with his arm. You get the ball to the open guy, let that guy make the play with his legs. The key plays that Jimmy will make will be with his legs, and that is when he's under pressure and he scrambles for a first down to keep the chains moving. So he doesn't need to do anything special. Nobody does. Back to Richard Sherman's point, nobody needs to do anything special. Everybody needs to do their job, and somebody will make a big play, or a lot of people will make big plays during the game, and that's when you win.
Well, a couple things there. First of all, Sherman made that big play when he pretty much ran the route for Adam Thielen and had the interception. I mean, but and that was just a smart play. Those are the kind of plays that you hope you get from your veteran players, I guess.
When you rely on your fundamentals, put in the work study, and go out and play the game, and not get ahead of yourself where you're like, okay, we got to win this game. Because we can go to the Super Bowl, we got to, you know, you still have to go play the game and execute.
And with Garoppolo, do you have any concerns? I mean, earlier in the season, he was trying to jam some balls in there a little more. I think that's when he was making more mistakes. You know, still every once in a while, he might do that. What would be your advice to him as far as his mindset for this game, in addition to what you just said about, you know, make sure you just hit the open receiver?
No, it's that, if I had 2 minutes with them, I would tell them just what I said. You cannot feel like you have to make plays. Your job is to manage the game, get the ball to the open guy, let them make the plays. The plays that you'll make, like I just said, will be a scramble and, you know, the plays are made with your legs. It's not going to be with your arm. You make your throws to the open guys, all good. Easier said. Trust me. Way easier said. Because you get in there, you think, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. No, you do not. Get in there, manage the game, and get the ball to the open guy.
Well, hopefully it works out that well for the 49ers, Steven. I know you're going to be there for the NFC Championship. I mean, it's going to be an incredible atmosphere at Levi's.
Yeah, well. It's great for Levi's to see a division game and a championship game.
All right, well, good luck to the 49ers. Enjoy it, Steve, and look forward to talking to you about it next week. Hopefully, the Niners will be headed to the Super Bowl.
I hope so.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday, and we'll talk about the NFC Championship game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.